Thank you for making church a part of your Christmas celebration. I think it's a real blessing to be together in church on Christmas Sunday, to worship Him, to celebrate together His coming to save us from our sins. Over these last few weeks, I have been preaching a series of sermons about the name given to Jesus before He was born, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We've, in fact, sang a song this morning about Emmanuel. Each week, we've looked at a part of that name, God with us. That was two Sundays ago. You think about what that implies to us, what that teaches us, the fact that God came here in the flesh. Jesus was more than just a human being. He was God coming here, becoming one of us. He was the immortal becoming mortal. He was the creator of the universe becoming the created. He was the all-powerful one becoming weak and helpless in the form of a baby. That little baby born on that silent night was the great I Am. The babe born of the Virgin Mary was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was God with us. Last week, we looked at the second word in the translation of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. He who was and is above us came to live among us. He faced temptation just like we do, except He overcame all of those temptations. He was a perfect man. He was without sin, the Scripture says. He also faced hardship just as we do. He understands what it means to go through hardship because He's walked in our shoes. He's lived here among us. He was God with us. In fact, I see part of the Anderson family here today. I was texting Stacy this morning, and if you know what's been going on with Eric and his health, he's been through quite a time here recently. And Stacy was saying, I just listened to your sermon this morning on the radio, which would have been last week's sermon on God with us. And the fact that God, through Jesus, was here and He has walked in our shoes and He's been through hardship Himself and He understands what that really means. It's a comforting thing. And Stacy was saying in her text, I'm comforted in knowing and being reminded of that fact that Jesus is God with us. And you know what? He's still God with us. Whatever journey we travel through, He is with us. If we are traveling the journey of grief, He is with us. If we are traveling the road of sickness or heartache, He is with us. And on the other hand, too, if we are on the mountaintop, He's there with us as well. He said this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. 24/7, He lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and He is with us. Now you think about that. That is really a mysterious thing. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon was trying to figure it out in his own mind. He had just built a glorious and magnificent temple, and they were about to dedicate that temple, and then he was having second thoughts. He said this, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. And we may sometimes wonder the same thing. If the heavens cannot even contain God, how in the world can our bodies contain Him? How can our hearts become His home? That's a lot to think about right there. And let me give to you the answer, the simple answer of that. And though it's not really that simple, but He boils it down to this simple truth. He chooses to live inside of us. He desires to live inside of us. And though this magnificent temple was not enough to contain Him, and though the heavens themselves are not enough to contain Him, our heart is big enough to contain Him because He wants to be there. I hope and pray that every person here has chosen to have Him dwelling in their heart. That's where He wants to be. Now, He does not force Himself upon us. He waits for us to invite Him in. And if you're one who maybe hasn't invited Him in, He's knocking, He's waiting, He's pursuing you before you ever even thought about pursuing Him. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And today, on this Christmas Sunday, I want us to look at the third word in the translation of this name, Emmanuel. He is God with us. Christmas is not just about God and me. Christmas is about God and we. You see, Christmas is a communal thing. Maybe that's why it's so special to be together on Christmas to worship Him. I find it interesting the number of scriptures, even in the Christmas story, that deals with the love that God has for all people. Think with me, the truth of John 3:16. Now that Scripture doesn't have for us the birth story of Jesus, but it tells us the reason He came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Matthew 1:21, the message of the angel to Joseph concerning Mary, and she shall bear a son. Tim read this just a little bit ago. She shall bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins. And Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Over and over again in Scripture, we see the fact that Jesus came not just for one, but He came for all the people and all the nations. In fact, Simeon, you remember Simeon was the old man in the temple when Jesus was brought there as a little baby, 8 days old. It was customary for the people of Israel to bring their little one on the eighth day into the temple to be dedicated. And so here they come with baby Jesus, and Simeon sees the babe. And this is what he says, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Look at the last part of that, particularly verse 32. I am so glad for verse 32 because I'm not a Jew. I don't have Jewish blood running through my veins, and maybe that would be true of most of you. I am so glad Jesus has come for all of the world. He has come for all the nations. He has come for all the peoples. He came to save the Gentiles too, just as he came to save the Jews. He is more than God with me. He is God with us. Step back in time, and this same truth is seen throughout the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God is speaking to Abraham. He's giving him that promise, and this is what he says, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Isaiah the prophet said this, "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Notice, it's for more than just one nation that Jesus would come. It's for all the nations. Hallelujah. And Isaiah stressed this again, chapter 42, verse 1. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." He is indeed God with us. And so where did we get this mentality that it's Jesus and me? You've crossed paths with people who have this mentality, "I'm going to have this personal relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to keep it all to myself. And I'm not going to share him with anybody else. He and I have this private thing going." You can't find that kind of mentality anywhere in Scripture. Please hear me say that. You cannot find that kind of private thing, Jesus and me, anywhere in Scripture. Yes, we do make a personal decision for Jesus. Others can't make it for us. But beyond that, it's anything but private. It's something that we share. It's something that we give away. You know, there are lots of people out there in the world who are ready to hear the gospel. They're waiting for somebody to tell them the good news. Right now, they have something missing in their life. They don't necessarily know what it is, but they know that something just isn't right. There's something more to living than what they have experienced. And so they are searching here and they're searching there. They're searching for life. They are empty on the inside. What they have now is not giving to them what they need. They're like a blind person walking around aimlessly, needing someone to help them find their way. And you know what? You and I have found the way if we have Jesus in our heart. And we need to help them find the way. We need to help that person who is blind to find the truth. Christmas reminds us of the usness of Christianity. Now, I just made a new word there. You'll not find that word in Webster's dictionary. And so, aren't you glad you came today to learn a new word? Christmas reminds us of the usness in Christianity. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And what sweet fellowship we can have with one another through Jesus. I'm sure most of you would be familiar with the name John McCain. He passed away a few years ago, but served in the U.S. Senate for 31 years and was known, too, for the time that he spent as a Navy aviator in the Vietnam War. And you remember, for 6 years, he spent in a prison war camp known as the Hanoi Hilton. And in his autobiography, he writes about an experience that he had while in that war prison. He said it was the practice of the guards to come in the evening time and tie the hands of the American soldiers behind their back in a rather uncomfortable way just to make their sleep more difficult for the night. Every night that would happen. It was Christmas Eve, and one of the soldiers came up to him later that evening and did like this. Shh. And he reached behind John McCain's back and untied his hands so that he could rest more comfortably and sleep that evening. The next morning, before everyone awakened and before the next shift of soldiers was to show up, that same guard came back to John McCain and tied his hands back together like they were supposed to be. On Christmas Day, they were allowed 10 minutes to go outside and see the sun. And he was outside for that period of time, and that same guard walked up to him, and without a word, he took his foot, and in the dirt, he did this. He drew a cross. Just long enough for John McCain to see it. And then he took his foot and he wiped it away. But in that moment, the most impossible place, the usness of Christmas was prevailing. And I'm wondering what we might could do to put some us back into Christmas. Could we simply get out of ourselves and give ourselves away to someone else? Let me read to you a piece from John Weiss's book. It's called Me Too. This is a book that I'm presently reading. And as I read this, it caught my eye. He said, some friends of mine have a son with Down syndrome. The dad is a football coach, and for years they lived in Texas. During their 15 years in Dallas, their son thrived in the church they attended. Everyone in the church knew and loved Mark, and there wasn't a Sunday when he didn't help collect the offering and pass out the communion. He was a fixture in the church. Sunday was Mark's favorite day of the week. But his dad was fired from his coaching position and they had to take a new job in St. Louis. As the family adjusted to life in a new city, they finally found a church that they could call home. But Mark didn't like it. Every Sunday he would ask his parents if he could stay home. His parents knew it would take time for Mark to get to know the people of the church and for the people of the church to get to know Mark. So every Sunday, Mark's parents insisted he go to church with them. One Sunday morning, a man in the church approached Mark and said, "Someone left a gift for you in the lobby." Mark stood up and, can't you see this happening? He stood up, he raced down the center aisle and ran out of the sanctuary and into the lobby. On the counter at the welcome center was a huge jar of M&Ms. M&Ms were Mark's favorite candy. Attached to the jar was a note that read, "We're glad you're a part of our church family." That gift changed everything. Every Sunday, Mark looked forward to going to church, and every Sunday until Mark's death at 46 years of age, an anonymous person left a jar of M&Ms at the Welcome Center in the lobby for him. And though that story doesn't have the mentioning of Christmas in it, as I was putting this sermon together and the usness of Christmas, it dawned on me, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to make an impact on somebody's life. A jar of M&Ms, a couple of bucks, $5 maybe, a little bit of creativity, a little bit of time, a willingness to step out of ourselves to help somebody else. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He stepped out of himself to come here for us. And my challenge to you, even as this day goes along, maybe what could you do today? Now, probably, for most of us, our day's pretty well planned, but I wonder if you could take just 30 seconds out of your day and text somebody and let them know that you're praying for them. I said to Stacy in the text, as we texted back and forth a few times this morning, I said, we have so many in our church family who are hurting right now. Take a moment. Text Eric and Stacy. Text Rick. He got news this week he's got to have open heart surgery coming up in January. Text somebody that you know of who's struggling, who's having hardship. We've got some folks who've lost loved ones, and this is their first Christmas without their loved one here. Text somebody. Give somebody a hug today before you leave. Get out of yourself. And remember the usness of Christmas. God with us. Not God with me. It's God with we. And what if all through 2023 we lived with that kind of mentality? I think it would make a big difference. It would make a difference in our life, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray together. I thank you, Jesus, that you came here to become one of us, to give of yourself so that we could live forever in heaven. Thank you, God. This was your plan from before time. We can't hardly fathom that kind of love, but we're thankful. And we believe it. Let us share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.